Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 220. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Senior Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing on this fine Tuesday morning?
I'm doing good. It seems like the storm passed us in Massachusetts.
Yes.
But there's a new storm in town, and it's not a new storm at all. But it's the storm that I said last week we were going to be talking about this week, and that being the great cyber casino heist of 2023.
Yeah. Wow. Right. We are talking today about the two cyber attacks on MGM and Caesars. Two of the biggest, if not the biggest, hotel and casino companies in the world. They were recently breached in separate attacks that appear to definitely share similarities, but appear to possibly be connected as well to the same threat groups, threat actors, what have you. And it has sucked up a lot of attention and air. And it's weird because I have people asking, I never have people asking me about, like, hey, did you see that cyber attack on the state of Colorado? Or did you see that SolarWinds cyber attack against the federal government? Or did you see this school got ransomed? But I've had a lot of people not in the cybersecurity space asking me about MGM and Caesars. Mostly MGM, because they, and we'll get into this specifics here in a second, but they had the visible sort of cataclysm going on out there in Las Vegas with massive disruptions and whatnot. But there's a lot of focus going into these attacks.
A lot of media attention, to the point where it's one of those, like, we get like one a year of those stories that bleed out to the people in our lives who don't care about this stuff at all.
Right.
But the other cultural context I would add is that these attacks happened, or at least this news happened, smack dab in the middle of two fairly major cybersecurity conferences. Three, if you separate Black Hat and DEF CON, which happened back to back in early mid-August, and then you have the CrowdStrike, I forget what it's called, but they have their big conference, which is also in Las Vegas, and that's happening either this week or next week, I think.
Yeah.
So I think, even though, like, it's Las Vegas, it's a lot of billions of dollars, or millions in the case of potential ransom payments, but it's also culturally interesting to us, because at least one of the major events for us, Black Hat / DEF CON, kind of two, happened just before this, and it happened there. So there was a bit of relevance for us, and probably a lot of security people, that there might not be for your other giant ransomware attacks.
Yes, yes. So let's get into the specifics, Alex. You wrote about this, I guess chronologically speaking. MGM was the first to
disclose.
When did they disclose that? I know they put out a statement on Twitter saying that they had a security incident. I think that started a week ago, Sunday the 10th, I believe.
11th was their first statement. I mean, there may have been, MGM may have made another statement either that day or the day before, but we're looking at 10th or 11th when this became relevant information. Lot of whispers / posting coming out of MGM hotels, which includes Luxor, it includes Excalibur, I think New York, Mandalay Bay, and just a lot of them. MGM owns like half of Las Vegas.
Yes.
Basically people saying that their TVs aren't working. Every slot machine requires a hand pay, even if it's like a 60 cent win. People were having difficulty getting into their rooms. And it sounded to us when a lot of this stuff was coming out that it had the whispers of a cyber attack. And that was followed a couple days later, Thursday, which I believe was the 14th. Yes, it was the 14th. Caesars Entertainment formally disclosed, even though there had been rumors, I think, a day before that, or reporting a day before that from Bloomberg and maybe Reuters also, that Caesars was attacked on Wednesday. That was when the first reports of Caesars attack went. They own Caesars Palace. They own a bunch of other hotels, casinos around the country, in particular Las Vegas. But it seems like the attack started as early as September 7th. But then I think if you read the 8K a little closer, and especially if you read some of the unconfirmed reporting that came out of like Bloomberg, it seems like that attack may have even started a few weeks before.
Right.
But what's interesting there is that Caesars didn't have huge disruptions compared to MGM's inarguably huge disruptions that may still be going to some extent now. Hopefully not. But it seems like Caesars was maybe a data extortion attack that they paid out. And they only hinted to paying out in the 8K, but it's pretty clear based on their verbiage that they paid out, and that MGM at this time has not.
That's what we think. That was the word at last check, but
may have been encryption.
Things change. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. This is interesting for a number of reasons, and not the least of which is the fact that the amount of money and the amount of IT systems that's being affected. So, you know, you mentioned the reports coming out of MGM casinos and hotels, slot machines not working, people like digital room keys not working, people having to pay with cash everywhere they go because payment systems have been taken offline. It's unclear at this point how many actual systems within MGM's corporate network, MGM Entertainment, were affected by whatever ransomware was deployed. The report is that, the initial report came from cybersecurity researchers, VX Underground. They said on Twitter that Alpha V or Black Cat was responsible for the attack, and that the threat actor, the affiliate threat actor of that ransomware as a service gang, was the Scattered Spider Group. And it's unclear how much of the network was encrypted and how much of the disruption was caused by, you know, the security folks over there at MGM taking everything offline to prevent the spread, which is what a lot of organizations will do during, you know, an incident response to ransomware. But the disruptions were just massive. And, you know, the websites were down for several days. They're back up, but they're not, at last check, they were not fully functional. They were very bare bones. The certain features and functionality for those websites were not restored, at least as of yesterday. So, yeah, the amount of money that they're probably losing, you think, between gaming, the hotel services, and just general stuff, you know, you can't make a purchase there without cash. I mean, that's, I know a lot of people are probably carrying cash because you want to gamble and you're using cash to play at various blackjack tables, you know, craps games, etc. No one plays craps anymore, which is sad to me, but whatever. Yeah, it's huge, huge disruptions. And the interesting thing that struck me about both of these attacks was just that, I mean, I think we have, you know, maybe this is blame Ocean's 11 or whatever. Like, we have this sort of image in our mind that, you know, nobody beats the house and no one robs casinos, and they're pretty locked down with their both physical security and their cybersecurity. And that does not appear to have been the case. We're going to get into sort of the aspects of the attack here in a minute, but for two of the biggest hotel casino chains, basically they own all of the Las Vegas Strip between these two companies. For these two companies to go down around the same time in very, very costly cyber attacks is really alarming, because again, I think these types of organizations have reputations for being on the up and up with security. Again, physical security and IT security, information security. But again, this is a shot across that bow. It really shakes the foundation of that belief. So I don't know. How are you feeling about these attacks? I mean, were you surprised, Alex, when you heard both Caesars and MGM had been attacked in this manner?
Yes, I would say yes. Mostly because the scale of MGM is gigantic. Like, I went to Las Vegas for the second time a few weeks ago, I walked down the strip for the first time, and what sort of stuck out to me was how much of that place was owned by MGM. And I guess it doubly surprised me to find out that a not equal but still very significant amount was owned by Caesars Entertainment. I walked into Caesars Palace, and that was gorgeous. But if you go across the street, you see the much less gorgeous Harrah's, and that's also owned by Caesars Entertainment. and a lot of MGM casinos though look pretty much exactly the same. But my point is, it was very surprising for me, because I can recognize the scale of these two companies in that specific town. Yeah. And
tangible. Yeah.
It's tangible. And that's what surprised me. And like, we'll see giant ransomware attacks where there's millions of dollars all the time. But I don't know. I think this is an okay thing to say. They're usually like a little bit boring.
I know what you mean.
It's like, yes, they're giant like oil companies you've never, I don't mean Colonial Pipeline. I mean, right, like companies in let's say Texas you've never heard of that bring in millions and millions of dollars. Yep. or other companies that run the world that you've never heard of, and it's like, yeah, right, we'll write the article, we'll put it in the ransomware roundup, but it's another day, another dollar to a certain extent. This is flashy, this is interesting, and the fact that it's all tied up or appears to be tied up in very basic social engineering attacks for this much money is also very, very surprising. That's what I would say. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes, I do. And let's talk about the specifics of the attacks, because this is another angle to the story that is unsettling and alarming. So the MGM attack, you know, that like we learned early on, like I said, VX Underground was first to report via Twitter that it was connected to Alfie and Black Hat and Scattered Spider. And Scattered Spider is a group, is a threat group, cybercrime group that is that consists of English speaking individuals who are apparently very, very good at social engineering schemes. They've got a number of other skills as well. There's a lot of great write-ups on this group, but they are particularly adept at phishing, social engineering schemes of that nature, and just convincing targets to do things that seem like just very, very risky and very dangerous, but they convince them to do them anyways. And we'll get into more specifics in just a minute. And then to learn that, you know, Caesars, with their 8K filing, also suffered a social engineering attack, that's when the light bulb, I think, started to go off for us to say, this is especially bad, because if you're tracing the initial compromise to something that, you know, everybody knows about social engineering, but, and we talk about security awareness all the time and all the steps you need to take and MFA and all this, but I don't know. This is next level. And, you know, you read the 8K filing, Alex, and it says, you know, a social engineering attack on an outsourced IT support vendor used by Caesars Entertainment. So, you know, it's a third party, but like still that third party was successfully conned, fished, whatever, however the particulars of the attack unfolded. And they were able to use that access to get into Caesars. And, you know, we don't know the exact timeline. They don't say when, you know, they just say recently identified suspicious activity. You know, after detecting the suspicious activity, we did this, 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 and this. And as a result of our investigation on September 7th, we determined that unauthorized actor acquired a copy of our loyalty program database, blah, blah, blah. But whatever they did, whatever the particulars of the attack were, it was effective because they breached two of the biggest casino hotel companies in the world. I don't know. Were you surprised that social engineering was the root cause, or at least the start of the attack chain here for both incidents?
Only surprising that something so seemingly simple resulted in such great consequences. But am I surprised that a giant entity got pwned, as you like to say, by social engineering? No. Not really, unfortunately, right? Because I do, my understanding over the years has been that cybersecurity training has gotten better, and phishing training has gotten better, but spear phishing training probably has some ways to go. It seems like that's the frontier. I'm sure all frontiers are neglected to some extent, but I think that's the most neglected. Or even if it doesn't feel neglected on the organization's parts that are putting their all into cybersecurity training, how easy is it for a person who isn't involved in technology at all, is just living their life, being a good employee, doing their thing. They get a call from someone in IT and they're like, hey, I need your password, or I'm going to give you this link. Here's a screen share, or whatever. It doesn't feel good to say it or think it, but the impulse of most people is going to be, oh, okay. It still is going to be that, totally. And that especially extends to a casino where you have so many employees who have so many extremely siloed jobs. And I don't know which employee was responsible for this, but it could have been someone hourly who's just like not getting paid enough, which doesn't mean they're malicious, but like they're not going to receive the cybersecurity training. Maybe. I don't know, but it's easy to imagine, and it's not surprising to see how this happens. And it makes me wonder if people are going to start paying more attention to spear phishing at the granular level and the more.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so, because I feel like, I don't know. You mentioned siloed jobs within these organizations, and you're right. But not only that, like they train people across these organizations, hotel workers, you know, obviously the people that work in gaming at the casinos, to be, I guess, alert and suspicious, and to sort of, you know, be aware that people are trying to, you know, put one over on the casinos, whether it's counting cards or potentially, you know, all sorts of schemes. They have to be aware of that stuff. And it it is a little surprising to me that not only was, okay, it's a third party contractor in the case of Caesars. I kind of understand that. That maybe is someone not who is trained under the same type of awareness culture that you would have with a full-time employee at a casino hotel chain like an MGM or Caesars. But then I kind of wonder, like, okay, well, how did that individual, that third-party contractor, have that much access? How were they able to parlay that access to get far enough into the network to cause this level of disruption? It's interesting. I think we should talk about Okta for a second, because this is where it gets kind of, or even more interesting, I should say, on the social engineering front. So last week, after, you know, VX Underground had reported that Alfie and or slash Black Cat and Scattered Spider were behind the attack. I believe it was the 14th. Alfie put out a statement on its leak site, basically saying, basically admitting responsibility and so on and so forth. And they, it's a very lengthy statement, and part of the lengthy statement, and we should say we do not have the facts here. This is just claims from the ransomware threat actor, so we don't know. But they basically said they were able to compromise Okta accounts within the organization. They also said that they deployed ransomware on ESXi servers, 100 ESXi hypervisors. That seems like a lot. That's at MGM. And this kind of tied in with an earlier story that I think we did when you were out, Alex. The story about Okta, you know, that they admitted, I think, early September that four customers had been breached in social engineering campaigns. That basically threat actors had gone to these four organizations and I guess convinced them to reset their MFA, which seems really, really, really dangerous.
Yeah.
We don't have all the details from Okta, but the story was pretty alarming because, I mean, resetting your MFA factors for your most privileged users seems like something you would need more verification for than just a phone call. But regardless, you know, according to Okta, these four organizations were compromised. The threat actor got in and it was bad. And then a lot of speculation was that, well, MGM must have been one of these customers and maybe Caesars too. We don't know that, but there was a Reuters story that I think just went up yesterday that basically, I guess, confirmed that MGM and Caesars were two of those customers. It's
appeared a little, to confirm is sort of the way confirm. I would phrase yes. it. Yeah.
Appeared to confirm that they were that both MGM and Caesars were Okta customers, and that they were referenced, that they were the two of the organizations that were referenced in that blog post earlier this month. That was really unsettling to me. That alarmed me because I just, the way I think of social engineering attacks, you think of like phishing an employee and like tricking them for their credentials, and, you know, trying to move laterally. But it seemed like in this case, Scattered Spider was somehow able to convince these organizations to do something as serious as resetting their MFA. So like, what good is MFA if you can get them to reset it and just like nullify it basically? And the thing that really stood out to me in that report, the Okta report, was basically that they apparently had done a lot of reconnaissance on these organizations so that they knew what they basically had studied. They knew how to impersonate, I guess, the target individuals or employees that they were trying to impersonate. it seemed like they had knowledge of those organizations and were able to pull this off, even against, I don't know, the probably improved security awareness training. That's really unsettling. And I think it goes to show just how like damaging that reconnaissance and that type of knowledge in the hands of threat actors can be when they're pulling a social engineering scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Like our whole lives now are online. Like all of our organizations are on LinkedIn. You can look up employee names. Like, do you think we're putting way too much information in the hands of threat actors? I mean, do you think you and I could work up a spear phishing scheme with a little bit of time and effort and like studying an organization, the layout perhaps of their headquarters, their locations, et cetera, et cetera?
I don't know. Well, here's what I think is it is these criminals, whatever, it's their full-time job. They think about this stuff 8 hours a day. And, you know, for all the broken English and mistakes that we see threat actors make that seem basic to us in our armchair, there's probably a minimum competence level that it takes to be in that position. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're in a group that is successfully pulling an attack like this off. So I think if you have a baseline competency in security and if you professionally as a company, because where these people are, it can sometimes be basically the same as an IT organization or it can be government if it's North Korea. So if you take a baseline competence we can agree is probably true and at least 50% of the time. Mm-hmm. And you take someone who's thinking about it 8 hours a day, I'm sure there's a lot of attacks that aren't succeeding, but I think there are also a few that are. So do I think we could do it? No, because I think we're here with enough privilege and enough ethical vibe that we would never do that. But if you're saying, could someone of roughly our competency, which who knows what that is, do something? Maybe. I don't know. I'd rather not speculate. I do think that there's a lot of... It makes sense to me that a threat actor can pull something like this off.
Yeah. I think you're underselling your reporting skills. I think you could probably dig up a lot of information about an organization and craft a really good for like, let's say acting as a pen tester, not as a cyber criminal, totally ethical. I think you could do that.
Oh yeah. I think there was, who was it? It was maybe the last Black Hat a year ago. Maybe it was someone from either CISA or, but anyways, they were walking through how folks get hacked and they were talking about how with spear phishing, LinkedIn has basically everything you need. Like either profiles are public or they are or they're private, but you can make a fake account pretty easily.
Yeah.
And the person went into, I think they were with a company, I wish I knew who they were, but and they went into how people will often, like, based on the certifications and stuff on someone's LinkedIn profile, you can get a good feeling for what kind of stuff the company they work for is running. And from there, that gives you a lot of information, which you can bounce off of, get other information, and that can lead to spear phishing attacks or more conventional cyber attacks. And all that for goofy LinkedIn posts, all that publicly available information for single sentence paragraph posts about how you hired the candidate who didn't deserve it or whatever.
Right. I think, this, like I said, repeatedly during this episode, these are both unsettling attacks. And I think the social engineering aspect is there's going to be reverberations, I think, from this and just the effectiveness of Scattered Spider, for for quite a while, because it's alarming what they were able to do with just, like I said, initial compromise started with a phishing email, a phishing attack, and they were able to convince, allegedly convince organizations to basically disable, turn off MFA, reset it in a way that nullified it. Before we wrap up, I want to turn to just a quick contrast between the two attacks. Caesars reportedly paid $15 million to the hackers, to, we presume, the ALF-V Black Hat ransomware actors, or ransomware gang. The actors are presumably the Scattered Spider crew. And MGM did not. MGM suffered massive disruptions. It was all over the news, you know, social media, various, you know, videos and tweets and Facebook posts and so on and so forth about, you know, these slot machines not working and I'm not able to get into my room and I got to have an escort, not an escort, you know, like a hotel employee escort me up to my room and so on and so forth. Caesars didn't have any of that. Caesars attack was kept relatively quiet. There was apparently, you know, reading a couple of reports, there was minor disruption, but it was remedied really quickly. We don't have the particulars of how. They sort of kind of admitted that they paid, you know, in that 8K filing, although they didn't expressly say that they paid and didn't put a dollar amount to it. I believe it was the Wall Street Journal that said that they paid $15 million out of a $30 million ransom demand. And there was an article I just want to highlight on Vital Vegas News on casino.org, which is a big, you know, gaming casino information site, that said, I'll just read the headline because this really puts it in context. Caesars Entertainment paid millions to hackers, now look like geniuses. Mm-hmm. And it contrasts the two attacks. Do you think this sends, I guess, a potentially bad message? Not the article. I mean, just the two attacks side by side, Alex. One paid, one didn't. One had massive disruptions. The other did not. A tale of two casino companies. Do you think that is going to potentially send a bad message to CISOs, C-suites, executives, boards out there about what to do when you're confronted with such an attack?
The idea that Caesars paid and MGM, as far as we know, didn't, and look at where things went type thing?
Yeah.
Is that what you're... Yeah. Will it send the message? Maybe. I don't know. Should it send the message? No. Because two very different attacks.
Yeah.
MGM involved encryption, and Caesars did not. And so even if Caesars didn't pay, maybe there would be a compliance nightmare down the line that they avoided. Who knows? Because they even noted in the 8K, you can't guarantee that this stuff's going to get deleted.
Mm-hmm.
But there wouldn't have been as much disruption anyway, unless for some reason they continued the attack. And unless them paying was the difference between encrypting and not encrypting, which I don't know if that happens, but it didn't happen here.
It doesn't. I don't think it usually happens that way, but according to the statement that ALF-V put out on its leak site regarding MGM, that's kind of what it sounded like. The order of events there, which is, again, you're taking the word of hackers. It sounds like they got in, stole data, and once they started shutting down portions of what's the IT team started shutting down portions of the network after discovering the suspicious activity, the attackers reached out to MGM and didn't hear anything back. And then a day later, encrypted portions of the network, the 100 ESXi hypervisors. Again, we're taking the word of threat actors. I don't know that we can trust them, but
That, yeah, we can't.
So it's but it is, it's possible that a similar situation unfolded where Caesars was compromised. They stole the bad guys stole data. They were discovered. Caesars said, "You can pay us, or we're going to deploy ransomware." And Caesars made the decision that it made. The thing that I don't understand about this is that, you know, they said that Caesars and its 8K, they said they stole data, including, you know, the loyalty program, database. So members' information, including, you know, driver's licenses and social security numbers. Who cares? Mm-hmm. And they specifically say it doesn't seem like there's no evidence that any financial information was stolen. Well, so why'd you pay $15 million then?
My theory was, it was that even if encryption wasn't in play, the argument for them would probably be, we need people to be gambling and putting money through our slot machines, through our ATMs, as fast as possible. And $15 million is a drop in the bucket to have a much better chance that coming into the following week, or even now, that there won't be that issue. And all this really, I think, goes back to the uncomfortable question that there's still no great answer to, which is, should you pay the ransom? Yeah. And the best answer that we really have at this moment in time is like, you shouldn't, and you probably never should. And then in very small font, in parentheses next to it, the smallest font you can think of is, but I get it when you do, kind of, maybe, sort of, maybe not, but maybe kind of, right? That's what it all comes back to. And it's like, should Caesars pay the ransom? No, they're criminals. Why are you giving them $15 million? But in the tiniest font of all time, but I kind of get it. Yeah. I don't like it, but I kind of get it.
Yeah, I do worry a little that this is going to send a different variation of that message, where it's going to be like, yeah, you shouldn't pay, but look at what happened to MGM, and look at what happened comparatively to Caesars.
Yep.
And that is going to be something that is talked about and discussed and followed by a lot of organizations going forward. And, you know, this could be pretty, I don't want to say like a watershed, because I don't think that that's what this is, but it could be a pretty pivotal point in this whole ransomware landscape, that, you know, our battle with ransomware, fighting back against the threat actors, trying to convince organizations to come forward, work with law enforcement, don't pay, use backups, et cetera, et cetera. And now it kind of feels like we're a little bit right back where we started. So not great. And, you know, we'll leave it there because we've talked about this long enough. We'll be, I'm sure, following this as potentially more details and revelations come out from both organizations, and more attacks, more social engineering attacks come to light, I'm sure, regarding Scattered Spider. But that's it for now.
Sure.
Alex, thank you so much for discussing the casino hacks with me. I appreciate the work you did on the article and discussing it here with me on the pod.
Hey, thanks, Rob.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Tech Target Security and the Risk and Repeat podcast. I'm Rob Wright, and we'll see you next time.